Hey guys, it's Liz, and you are listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me, where we give people the chance to write a letter to their younger selves in hopes that we can learn a little bit from their lives. Hey guys, welcome to Dear Younger Me, Love Me. And today I have the amazing Naomi Richeson with us, and she is just starting her freshman year of college at Indiana Wesleyan. And tell me a little bit about your major, because it's a little different than, you know, a typical major.
Yeah, so I am not sure exactly what I want to do yet. Indiana Wesleyan has a specific program called the pre-declared program that's made for kids who don't really know what they want to do. So I'll be able to explore my options and like try out different fields I might be interested in. But in the back of my head, I know I really want to do something with business, whether it be a major, a minor, or a double major or something like that. I know I want to go into business somehow and incorporate that, but I'm not sure exactly what other kind of field I might look into, because you can do a lot with business. So
that's awesome. And so you'll be able to take like a ton of different classes to try things out and see how things are going and all of that.
Yes,
will you be in that program? Will you be meeting with career counselors or, you know, that kind of thing? How does
100%.
Is that a part of it?
I'll definitely have counselors by my side that help me, and I can also probably like update them. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I just know that this is different from other schools because it's very geared towards people who don't know what they want to do. Like other schools, they have kids that don't know what they want to do, but they don't have specific counselors for that. Who are going to be there the whole time with you. And so I know that this program does provide that. And so that's what I needed.
Oh, that's nice. It'll give you some clear direction and just some ways to try some new things.
Right.
Because you love trying new things.
I do. I can't make up my mind. That's
you
all.
Love trying new things. It's
I
so
do.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I have known Naomi for a very long time. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's been a lot of Richesons on the podcast because there's just an entire family of Richesons that I love so, so, so deeply. And so you're just another wonderful Richeson that I'm having on here. I've had your cousin. On here, your sister, and all of that. But talking about your story, you have a very unique story where you were adopted. And so I would love for you to share a little bit about your adoption story and how that leads into your journey now.
Okay, so I don't know if many of you guys know, but I am Chinese. And so growing up, I was in Shenyang, China. And I don't know my biological parents because they, at the time, China had in place like this one child rule.
Yeah.
And so I am guessing I probably was a second child or whatever, and they want to keep boys usually. And so that's my guess on why I was delivered to the hospital. But basically, my biological parents left me on the doorsteps of a hospital, and then they found me. And they took me in, tried to, like, figure out everything. And they actually had diagnosed me with cancer because I have a mass in my lung. And it looked, and that's what they thought it was.
Yeah.
And so they diagnosed me with that and then put me in an orphanage for 4 years. And typically, that's, like, kind of a longer time if you're not getting adopted. And I think it's because of the cancer that was on my medical form. But, and then there was this foster family that took me in for 3 years. And so this is me at 7.5 years old now. And now my parents now came over to China and adopted me. And so
was your foster family in China? So they were a Chinese foster family?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember very much about them?
Well, actually, crazy thing is, like, my foster mom didn't really want me to know that I was a foster child. She wanted me to believe that I was her biological child, and so she would, like, lie to me, like, not in a bad way. Like, she just wanted, you
know, she was protecting
me to feel I was her actual child. But she really wanted to adopt me, but she didn't want to leave me with my foster dad because I didn't have the best foster dad. He was kind of, like, he had anger issues. He, like, smoked, and he was, like, a little violent. And so because she was really sick, and so she didn't want me to be left with him if she died.
Yeah.
And so she just took care of me, because foster care, how that works, you usually will not get a child for that long.
Yeah.
You're not going to get them for 3 years. But she just wanted to keep me, and so she asked them if I could stay in her home, basically, I think.
Okay. And then what about the whole cancer thing in your lungs? Did anything come up with that?
Oh, yeah. So they found out that it wasn't, and it's just a massive amount. I totally forgot.
You're like leaving us all hanging here, and you're like,
I wanted to explain
why. You have cancer in your lungs. Duh, yeah. Duh, duh,
I wanted to explain why I was never adopted for a while, yeah. But I think that was the reason.
Yeah.
But yes, they found out that it wasn't. I literally just have, like, I don't even know what it is. I just have a mass in my lung. And
is it still there?
It doesn't really do anything. Yes, but okay. It's shrank. And that's why I also have like two huge scars on my side because, my brother's called me Gills for the longest time because one of my scars looks like a fish gill.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of gross, but.
I wish I would have known that sooner because I would have called you that for sure.
You would have what?
I would have called you that for sure.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, you really would. You okay. You're my brothers.
Yeah, you count me in.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you met your adoptive family, right? Mm-hmm. And so what about that journey?
Okay, so I obviously, like, you know, being pulled from one side of the earth to the other, going into a language that I didn't know, this family that I didn't know, like, the first 2 years, I was I shut everybody out, yeah. You know.
And you were, how old were you when you came to the United States?
7 and a half.
7 and a half, okay.
Yeah, and I'm still trying to learn English.
Yeah.
And that's also why I'm older for my grade, because I was going into second grade in China, but second grade would be too hard if I didn't know English, and yeah. So they just put me on first.
Yeah.
So basically I, like, cried, and I was very, very shy and very, like, shut down,
yeah,
for the first 2 years. But then I started growing out of my skin a little bit once I started making friends and once I, you know, knew the language.
Yeah.
And but I still had a really, like, deep feeling of, like, I knew I was really unique, but not in a good way.
Okay.
And I didn't even realize how different I was until everybody kept asking me questions and coming up and being like, oh, I don't remember exactly what they say, but they're just like, oh, where are you from? Or like, why do you look different? Hmm. Or like, because, you know, little kids just don't,
yeah,
they're not going to know, like, how to ask the questions correctly. And so once I kept getting asked questions, that's when I realized, I'm like, oh, I guess
questions
it's not that
pointing
normal.
Out your appearance and pointing out, right, that you look different than the typical rural,
yes,
small town white,
yeah,
person.
That's
you're
exactly
you're here
what it is.
And you're Chinese and you don't speak the language very well and you look different,
yeah,
than everybody else.
And I didn't realize how different and, yeah, unique adoption was and how being an Asian in Huntington was until everybody kept asking me that stuff. Because when you and I listened to Hannah's podcast and she, like, worded it perfectly too, yeah, like, you just don't realize until you get all these questions and comments, and mm-hmm, then it's like, oh yeah, I guess I really don't see a lot of Asians around me. I don't, yeah, see a lot of anybody else besides Caucasians. And so,
yeah,
then it started getting to an insecurity where I didn't like how I was different, I didn't like how I looked. And, like, you know, in elementary school, again, you know, kids don't know, but they'll make jokes and stuff like that about, yeah, like, my eyes or, like, eating cats and dogs,
yeah,
and, you know,
oh,
stuff,
gosh,
like, and, like, being smart and, like, just all the stereotypes and my appearance and how that looked. Then I just started being really insecure because I didn't think that I could be Asian and still be, like, beautiful,
yeah,
in the community's eyes. And so,
yeah. Well, even in your own eyes, because you're getting all of your validation from everybody else around you. And so you had no problem with yourself until people started pointing things out. And then your self-confidence kind of tanked a little bit because,
right,
you're like, oh, well, I am different. Or, oh, I don't match up what other people are saying is beautiful or what other people are attracted to. So that must mean there's something wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's a big struggle with all of that. On top of learning a new culture, moving to a new place, having a brand new family, and not knowing the language.
Yeah.
You know, just easy,
yeah, it's
easy
just,
things
it's
with
quite
life.
Quite a year, let's, yeah, just say that.
easy things with life.
Yep.
So how did all that kind of stuff play into your relationship with your family?
I would say, like, in high school?
Just
or
in general?
Middle school? Oh, I would say Yeah, it took me a while to warm up to them, and I thought, like, my personality changed in high school, but no, I don't think it's that. I think I just actually started growing into my personality since I was so, you know, like, something traumatic happened where it kind of offsets what kind of personality you'll have.
Mm-hmm.
And so, at first, I was just very shy, but now I have a lot more fun with my family. We tease each other. I feel like even them, they'll literally forget, like, they'll make jokes and they'll totally forget that I'm, like, adopted. They'll be like, they'll make blood jokes and it's like, oh, wait, you're, like, adopted. You're actually, like, not my sibling. Like, yeah, so.
We don't have the same genes.
Right. Like, they even forget. And so, and I've been told, like, by my really close friends, too, like, they just, you know, like, once I'm growing up and kids are around me are maturing, they're also validating me a little bit more that, like, it's really not that big of a deal. And people get used to it so quickly that I'm different and they kind of just forget, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that also helps me become more comfortable in my own skin. But
yeah.
So
middle school now.
Yeah.
Here we are. You're entering the terrible, horrible pond of middle school.
Yeah, cruel.
You have all of these you're feeling really self-conscious. You obviously know the language now and you're trying to just be a normal middle school kid, mm-hmm. but you're dealing with all this other stuff still too. So how is your self-confidence? How did all of that go from middle school to high school?
From middle school to high school, I was still really, really struggling with my appearance and me being different. But it more started transitioning into just, I think, my personality is when I really started to lose confidence in. And so it kind of shifted from my appearance and being Chinese and unique. I started accepting that a little bit more. But then middle school and then, like, all of high school, I really struggled with just, like, being enough.
Yeah.
Whether it be smart enough, pretty enough, athletic enough, popular enough. Like, you know, like, I hate to, but, like, it's just, like, things like that where I just didn't feel like I was measuring up to what I wanted to be.
Yeah.
And so I had really low confidence when it came to my abilities to do things.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that. And I love my mom.
Mm-hmm.
We're just different though.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's very, I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Enneagram, but she's an Enneagram 1.
Yeah.
And so if you guys know that, she's not only an Enneagram 1, she is like the poster
poster child
of an Enneagram 1. She is so organized, neat, like follow the rules.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's also, what is her position?
She's also the prosecutor of Huntington County.
Yes.
And so, well, she
just
not
changed,
anymore,
but yeah.
You get the gist.
Yeah.
And so,
she's an attorney that like puts felons in jail.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You don't mess with your mom.
No. No. She's scary. But
we love your mom.
We love her.
Shout out to Amy.
Oh my gosh. Yes. So my mom is very different. If you guys know me, very different from me. I'm very, like, I would like to say I'm very ditzy, like, airheaded, kind of just, like, unorganized, go with the flow, spontaneous. Like, I'm so different from my mom. And so all of high school, I had a huge struggle with her. And, like, we would butt heads based on the way that we thought and worked.
Yeah.
And so her constantly expecting me to be more of a one made me feel like kind of like a failure for, you know, not being more organized than I am, not being more, you know, things like that. And so I still love how much she's pushed me to, because obviously that's lessons I need to learn. Like, I do need to be more organized and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But like all of high school, it did start getting to me where, you know, I didn't think I would be
successful?
Yeah, like successful or another huge reason why I was like lacking a lot of confidence was comparing myself. Comparison is a weakness of mine.
Yeah.
I compare myself a lot to other people, and one of the huge roles in my life that I've compared to is my sister, Mia. And so I started just like viewing, you know, her successes, achievements, and social, like,
growth.
Just like the way that she popularity talks to people. She has, like the ability she talks to people, and like, and then all the achievements that she's gotten, and just like things like that. And she's so smart and like athletic and stuff like that. And so I compared myself so much to her, and that also was a huge,
it's a big struggle of yours.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, and it was just something that was just, it was all these, because both of your mom and your sister had best intentions and they just wanted the best for you, but you took that as a lie to believe about yourself that you weren't good enough.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. I think so many times when we compare ourselves to someone else and somebody else's journey is completely different than ours, we're using a completely different unit of measurement to measure something, and it always ends up falling short. It's like I'm trying to measure distance with gallons, right? Like, it just doesn't, I can't do miles to gallons. That does not make sense. Mm-hmm. Right? And so you comparing Naomi to your sister is totally two separate units of measurement, and it's always going to come up short, and it's always going to not translate. And you're not going to feel good enough because you're not this unit of measurement when you're a completely different one all the way on this other side, you know. So in all of this, how did this affect all of these lies that you're believing about yourself, all this self-doubt, all of that? How does that affect your friendships in high school?
Well, I would say when I'm very, very insecure and I have very low self-esteem or low confidence, I definitely know that I can be a little bit, I can just be mean and I can be stubborn and I can be very passive aggressive. And so it's just like, it's just healthy for me not to be insecure. Like just on the outside too. Like I am so much happier and like chipper.
Yeah.
And I'm very like, hi, how are you? Like,
just
hey.
Kinder.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm just so much kinder when I feel good about myself. But when I had phases where I just felt terrible about myself, I wouldn't be like outwardly mean, but I just would not be nice either. I'd just be very like, I could sit there and not talk to you and be right next to you and just like, you know, like I just didn't really want to put in energy into relationships.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you're just, when you feel bad about yourself, you just want to sit in it and like it's not healthy, but
You're like stuck in your own head.
Yeah. And you know? And then you keep just like hearing those voices in your head.
Yeah.
And again, comparison, when you're always around people, you just keep like, oh, I wish I was that athletic, or like, oh, I wish I could pull out an A after studying for only like 2 hours, you know? Like
Just all of these things that you wish you could be when that's not
Who
God created for you to be, you know? So speaking of God, where was God through your whole journey from, you know, adoption to now? Where's God been in all of that for you?
So I got really close to God middle school, I would say, actually. So elementary school, you know, growing up, like I've always been raised into a Christian home and going to church every week, and I accepted Christ into my heart when I was like 9.
Yeah.
And so I've always known the Lord, and I've always like been told to follow him. And obviously like high school years is where you really make the choice if you want to, because you're old enough.
Yeah.
But middle school, I got really close to him, and again, that's also why I knew I needed to, whenever I don't feel good about myself, I know I need to go to God, because I remember times when I was close to him, I'm just like in such a more joyful mood, and I have so much contentment when I'm close to him.
You have confidence through him instead of through yourself.
Right. Like, it's insane how much of a difference it'll make just by getting closer to God. You don't have to do anything with yourself, which you would think you would. But no, just getting close to God, like, you're already going to feel better, because he can only fill that.
Yeah.
And so basically middle school, I was close to him. I felt like pretty okay with myself. But then high school, I had a lot of like ups and downs, more downs than ups. And I got really distant from him just because, you know, I was just running away from him, and I also wasn't making the best decisions, and I wasn't living the life that he wanted me to live.
Yeah,
and
so, you were living for you. Yes. And for to have fun.
To have fun.
Yeah, as opposed to living for God.
Exactly.
Who gives you who makes everything better.
Exactly. And so when I was in that stage of just having fun and not really caring and living on a Christian lifestyle, I was running away from him, and that just made me not want to go to him even more, because it's like, well, if I get close to him, like, I'm going to have to stop everything, and I'm going to have to, but I, like, a tip is just, we always forget, yes, the fun is going to look so much different, but it is so much more fulfilling with God. Mm-hmm. And like, I know it's so hard when you're a high schooler and you're surrounded by temptations all the time, but something I wish I knew earlier in life and like really stuck to and was good about and had self-discipline was choosing the joy and the fun that I can get with God rather than, you know, other things.
Yeah.
Because it's just as fun, if not more. It's just going to look different, though. You're going to have to sacrifice a couple things.
Yeah.
Because I do remember in middle school when I was really close to him, I had probably just as much fun. And I didn't make as many bad decisions, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, it's such a huge difference because, like what you were talking about before we even got into this, is you felt better about yourself because your confidence wasn't in what you were doing. Your confidence is what God said about you. And so when you're doing anything, feeling like you're fully known and fully loved by God, that just is a joy that you really can't get by your friends telling you that you're pretty, by your friends saying like, oh, hey, come to this party with us and let's have a good time. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, you'll feel happy in that moment because, you know, that those things are fun, but you're going to feel really empty afterwards.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not going to stick around.
Right. And the guilt and the regret that comes with it right after you do it. Like, yes, it's a cycle and you do go back to doing the same thing, but the feeling right after is still terrible. Yeah. Like, I just didn't have strong enough self-discipline, though, to stop the cycle. But, like, that cycle was very unhealthy where I'd have very temporary fun.
Yeah.
And then I'd regret or be ashamed of what I just did. And then have a little bit where I don't do anything. And then I do it again. Yeah. And then it just is really unhealthy. And something else, though, I've been thinking about is it's also just really insulting to God, honestly. If you're not, like, whenever I wasn't accepting myself and how I was made and how I looked or how I performed or how I acted around others, like, it's, I don't know, insulting to God when we don't like what he's given us because in his eyes, we are like perfectly made and this is who we are. And so, yes, you can like, and I'm still working on it, but like, yes, I can definitely work on myself and get to the best version of myself, but I can only change myself to a certain extent because then that's not really me.
Yeah.
If I change myself like completely and make myself a different person.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like taking something that you worked really hard on and like you spent hours on it and this is, you know, whatever it is, like an art piece or, you know, something like that, and you put your like your whole heart into it and you're like, "Wow, I'm so proud of what I just did." And then you show it to someone and they end up like throwing it in the trash can.
Yeah.
And you're like,
"That hurts."
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Like, I'm never doing that again.
Right. But luckily, it says in scripture that God isn't easily offended. And so,
that's good.
Like, right? Okay.
I've said some nasty things. Right.
And so, yeah, we can say all these things. We can get mad at him. We can, you know, we can offend God. I'm using bunny ears right here. Like, we can do all these things, but he's not going to be easily offended. Mm-hmm. But he is going to be heartbroken and he is going to see us and cry with us and be so sad that his people don't see him, see themselves the way that he sees them. You know, like there are days that I pray, I was like, God, help me see myself through your eyes and help me see someone else through your eyes. Because if it's through my eyes, girl, we messed up. Okay. Like, it's not good. But if I asked to see through God's eyes, like that is so different than what I see in myself and what I can see in other people too. And that's huge.
I 100% agree. Yeah.
Yeah. And so through all this journey, you're getting ready to go to school. You had some ups and downs in your high school time. So what's different now with you?
I have grown so much and I'm so proud of myself. And I've said this before. I think I said it in like a scholarship, but when I think of like proud moments or like awards, I don't go to like the tangible things. My proudest achievement I've ever,
just start with my proudest achievement is.
Okay.
Yeah.
My proudest achievement is the self-growth and how much I've grown into accepting myself in my own skin, in my own skills. And I'm still, obviously, I'm only 19. Like, I'm still trying to learn everything and how to utilize my skills the best way I can. Yeah. And I'm still growing and I still have so much more to grow. But I have grown so much and I am a lot more comfortable with myself. And when I am not, now I'm old enough where I know how to shift and how to make myself be more comfortable with myself or set myself up to be in a healthier mindset when I do get there. And so I think just surrounding myself with the right people who are also very positive, because that's another reason why I can get down on myself a lot, is if I'm surrounded by a lot of negativity.
Yeah.
It kind of gets to me. And so, you're like
a little sponge.
Yeah.
You're going to soak in with whatever you're around.
That's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Right. And if you put your little sponge in negativity, that's what you're going to soak in. But if you put your little sponge, cute little Naomi sponge, in positivity, that's what you're going to soak in. And if you put it in God, that's what you're going to soak in.
Right. And it amazes me. Like, you know, one of my best friends, you know her very well.
Yeah.
But like, it just is insane to me how much they can like not soak up that stuff, because they are always positive. They're always radiating energy.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't understand how that just can't get exhausting for them. And I think it does get exhausting for them, but I just can't be that person. I wish I could, but I can only have a certain amount where I'm positive.
Yeah.
And then I will start becoming negative if I'm surrounded by that too.
So you're like, you know, you have like, you know yourself, and you know you got to be intentional about what you're putting your sponge in that day, you know. And I think sometimes we can look at our friends that are radiating positivity and that are following Jesus pretty closely and think like, how does their sponge not go dry all the time where they soak in all the other stuff? But when you are continually dipping into God every single day, if your sponge is totally full with God, there's no room to soak anything else in, right? Like, if the sponge is full and you try dipping it in other things, it's already soaked up what it needs to soak up for that day, you know? And so, like, that's why it's easy to go around other people who aren't positive and not soak it up, is because they're taking the time to stop and to fill up with Jesus every single day. So their sponge is completely full without being affected by anything else around them, which is a practice that I think you're starting to learn and you're starting to understand, you know. And maybe you're not letting your sponge soak in as long as it could, so it dries out a little faster, and that's okay. We're learning, right? And, but like, that's what that is we're all sponges, and we're all dipping in all of these different things in life. And it's, do you want to be soaked in with Jesus? So if you want that, you got to spend that time to let every ounce of those little sponge pores to soak in Jesus. Cause then when you're around other things that aren't Jesus, it's not going to affect you.
Yeah, that's so good. And that's also why I'm so excited. You know how excited I've been to go to like for college and a new start. Like, I am so excited to be in that kind of atmosphere and environment where, yes, like, not, you know, Christian campuses aren't perfect either, and they're not going to look perfect, but it's going to help so much being surrounded by people who also love God, who have the same intentions as you, for the most part. You know, there are obviously some people that go that aren't the strongest Christians still, but I'm just very, very excited to surround myself with, you know, the positive and loving and godly figures. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, my roommate, I'm very excited because she's also, I feel like, going to be a really good person to be around.
Your sponge is going to get filled with Jesus.
It's going to get filled so much with Jesus.
It's going to be awesome.
It's going to be so heavy.
I really can't wait. So you're saying all these things about how you gained a lot of confidence and now you're more secure in yourself and who you are. And maybe somebody's listening to this and they're like, okay, get easier said than done, right? Like, how... So what are some of the steps that you took to help yourself love yourself more?
Well, something that really helps my mindset is also realizing and not being oblivious to the fact that no matter who you're comparing, no matter who you're comparing yourself to, you don't know what's going on behind closed doors either.
Yeah.
And everybody is insecure and everybody goes through struggles, whether it be with their life or with themselves or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so that really helped me. And I realized not everybody, like, people probably think I'm more put together than I really am, you know? And so don't let images fool you. And I know that social media can be very unhealthy when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. You see everybody's highlights and you compare it to your worst.
Yeah.
And so I think once you realize and you take a step back and accept that that's not reality, I think that helps your mindset a lot, because it helped mine.
Yeah.
And another thing was just do the things that you love to do. Like, when you start, you know, filling yourself up personally and you start affirming yourselves with, you know, the things that you want to do, or you start telling yourself more positive things and you, like, stop, like, Satan's voice as soon as it turns on.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier than if you let it go on and then you have to just, like, you know, try and backtrack. It's a lot easier if once you start getting really negative feelings, to just stop it right then and there. And I know it's really hard, but that's also helped me a lot. I try and, like, nip it in the bud before it gets to me too much. And then I stop thinking about it and I start thinking about, all the skills and the talents and things that I do have that those people don't have.
Yeah.
So, like, if I'm comparing myself, I'm like, okay, but I have this and God's given me this ability that not everybody has. And so I think also looking more into what God has gifted you with, then that also is going to bring a lot more confidence in yourself and acceptance.
I love it that you were talking about how when you start thinking about negative things and you start experiencing that, not only do you stop, like, try to stop yourself from thinking about that negative thing, but you're replacing it with something else, right? Like, because I think sometimes we're like, okay, well, I want to stop doing this bad habit, so I just got to stop it. But we have to replace it with something else. Like, so if complaining is your struggle, then you have to replace complaining with gratitude or with thankfulness or with, you know, fill in the blank with whatever that is. Even if nail biting's your struggle, have to replace nail biting with chewing gum, or, like, you got to replace those things and those habits. And so I think that's a huge thing, which is really cool that you've learned through your journey in all of this. So that's good.
Thank you.
So with God, what are some scripture or some songs, anything that has that you've been able to hold on to that has really helped you grow through your whole journey?
So I don't have, like, a specific song, but I know I love Lauren Daigle.
Yeah.
She has really good songs when it comes to, like, I'm Loved and,
her song You Say.
Yeah. You Say is amazing.
Yeah.
And I, like, when I went to GoMad and that song played, oh my gosh, I bawled because those words are so good.
Yeah.
And I also love Hillsong, but my favorite verse, though, has always been Psalm 139:14. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And so I think that's really reassuring to always bring yourself back around and just say, nope, this is how I was made. And this is exactly how he wants it to be. And so once I accept that, that usually helps my mindset a lot.
Yeah.
So
it's that replacing from that negative self-talk with even that phrase, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Like,
That's really, like, what I repeat.
Yes. Yeah. It's, like, so good to just have those things just on our heart So in scripture, it says to hide scripture in your heart. And the reason that God asks us to memorize scripture is so when we're in times like that and we need to replace those negative thoughts with something else, you have it. It's right. already there and it's already in your heart. And yeah, maybe you don't have the exact words memorized in the like Psalm 139:14 and like you recite it all in your head, but you're hiding it in your heart and you're able to replace those negative thoughts and that comparison and that negative self-talk and this the lies that Satan is whispering to you. You're replacing it with Jesus and you're replacing that with what God says about you, which is huge.
Yes.
So that's awesome. Yes. And that's a confidence builder.
Yes,
for sure.
It is.
It is a huge confidence
builder.
Because
he doesn't make mistakes.
Yes. So. Amen, girl. Preach it.
Oh, yeah.
Preach it. Okay. So right now, I would love for you to read your letter to your younger self.
Dear younger me, I hope you can stop beating yourself up. Don't listen to the voices in your head saying you're not good enough, smart enough, funny enough, or pretty enough. Things will get better, I promise, but you will need to make sacrifices, surround yourself with the right people, learn to accept your differences, and try to find joy in little things. I hope that you lead others who are struggling in the same things. God does not make mistakes, and he has made you perfectly in his eyes. Hold on to that and learn how to utilize your personal skills and traits. Love me.
I love it when you were talking about knowing, because, okay, so you're talking about utilizing your own gifts and your personal traits, right? Like, in order to do that, you have to take time to know yourself, right? Like, you have to pause for moments in your life and look at yourself and be like, okay, what am I good at? Like, you don't just automatically know, like, okay, yeah, I'm good at these things and I like this about myself. Like, if you weren't to ever pause and think through that, then you wouldn't have that in your back pocket to pull out, right? And so I think a huge part of that is that you have taken the time to be thankful for yourself and to look at yourself in the mirror and say, you know what? I love this about myself. I want to celebrate this about me. And you have people in your life that tell you what you're good at all the time, right? Like, you have not only you're able to do that for yourself, but you're surrounding yourself with really, really encouraging people that have spoken some really big truth in your life too. And I think that's a huge part of bouncing back from comparing yourself to someone else is having someone speak truth into you when you're not able to believe that in yourself. Mm-hmm. What have been some really, really important times in your life where someone has spoken some truth in you when you weren't believing it?
I think the ones that really hit home are, it's not necessarily what they say, it's who it's coming from.
Yeah.
So somebody who you know will be honest to you. Yeah. Like, you know they're not just going to say it and make up things to make you feel good about yourself. If you know that that person in your life is saying something to you and you know it's true, those are the voices that you need to listen to. Because obviously, like, we're all very, you know, we all fall prey to just praising other people without really thinking about what we're saying.
Flattery. That's what flattery
is. Flattery.
Right?
Yeah. And so we're just trying to flatter people. But when you know the people in your life that are going to be honest and help you, those are the people that you need to listen to. And those are the people that I've listened to. And that's when I truly believe what they say. And that makes me feel better about myself. Because I'm like, you know what? They would not lie to me. And also, once they say it, it's like, you're right. I am really good at
right?
that.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Like, that is so true. And so then I just learn how to use that in my strengths rather than looking down on all my weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And so I would say those are the kind of people that have made a huge difference.
That's awesome. And just people that you have let speak into your life and that you know are just going to be real with you. You know, because I think sometimes we want to make people feel better. And so we tell them what we think they want to hear. But really what you're saying is, no, you want people to tell me the truth.
Yeah.
And I want people to share with me the good and the bad.
Right.
But if you share the bad with me, I'm going to cherish the good much even more than that. Like, if you got to shoot straight.
Like, I don't want just good. Like, you can tell me I could work on a couple of things. And that's that
like,
also
do it nice.
Right. Like, don't be brutal about it because, like, I do have an ego. But
you're sensitive.
Right. And it, but it also makes you, like, it just makes you seem more honest.
Yeah.
If you only tell people good things about themselves, then it just doesn't seem genuine when you do say good things. But then when you're saying, when you're like criticizing, healthy
constructive.
Yeah, constructive criticism.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
When you have constructive criticism along with praising what they're good at, mm-hmm. then that's like the perfect blend into yeah. making yourself the best version you can be.
Hmm. I think so. When you were talking, I was thinking about one of my favorite authors is Brené Brown, and she does a lot of research on shame and vulnerability and how people feel whole in all of that. And she talks a lot about when it comes to criticism, because you don't want to, you're not just going to listen to the random person on the street for criticism, right? Like you know, like on this podcast, you don't have to go to Naomi's Instagram page and start criticizing her. That's not what she's asking for.
Please don't.
Right? Like, but Brené Brown says, don't listen to the people that are sitting in the cheap seats. Listen to the people in the arena with you. Right? Mm-hmm. And so people in the cheap seats, like if you're watching a game, you're just observing. You're not really participating. You're just screaming things. And most of the time people think that they're a better coach than the coach, but they're not down in the field doing things. Right? But you want to listen to people that are in the arena with you, battling and on your team, right? And that's when you're going to listen to the criticism, and that's when you're going to listen to the praise. And those are the ones that you're like, I trust you because you know me.
Right. And like the best advice is always given from people who have learned.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I'm given advice from a person who just seems like they're perfect, they've always got it together, yeah. they've always lived such a good, healthy Christian life, which is amazing too.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to listen to somebody a little bit more when they can relate to me
yeah.
and they can also say, I've done it this way and mm-hmm. I've also done it your way.
Yeah.
And this is how it's going to get better and this is how you need to do this. Mm-hmm. And so it's like when they know exactly what you're going through and then how to get out of that, that also is going to be really your opening.
Yeah, when they practice empathy and they're like, I get it. I get it. That is really hard. That does really suck. Like,
exactly.
I've been there. Like that's awful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if somebody's listening to this and they're thinking, wow, this there's some pieces of your story that sound a lot like me, whether it's the struggle to feel like you belong, right? Whether it is the struggle to feel like you're good enough, the comparison, all of those things. Or maybe they're just thinking, wow, I wish I had people in my life that were in their arena with me, right? Like, mm-hmm. what is some advice that you have for people like that?
Okay, so is it okay if I have a few?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one, I would say, and I've always believed this and I've said this in the past too, but people are not paying attention as much as you think they are.
Yeah.
So if, you know, for example, if you think your hair doesn't look good this one day, nobody thinks that.
Yeah.
So you're setting yourself up to have a really bad day mm-hmm. and to have a really negative mindset when you focus on the negative things. But people do notice when you are having a really good day and you're being really positive, really nice.
Yeah.
And so it's like just pick to have a good day over a bad day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The only person that having a bad day is going to affect is you.
Mm.
It's not going to affect anybody else. But, you know, a positive day, it can, like, affect everybody around you and yourself. And you just feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
So just as corny as it is, like, pick positivity mm-hmm. over negativity.
Yeah.
And just, like, reframe.
Yeah.
And then another one I would just say is, yeah, like how I kind of mentioned earlier, like pay attention to the people that you need to listen to mm-hmm. and then like listen to them.
Yeah.
Like when they're trying to help you, listen to them. Swallow that ego pill. Like, be like, you know what? You're right. Like I'm not good at that. And I know it's really hard to be told what you're not good at or what you need to work on. But if they're there sitting you down and telling you that, then that means they truly care and they want to help you. And so just listen to those kind of people. And like, Liz, you've been an amazing person for that. And I don't want to like put you on the spot, but like, you know, and so, and then, I mean, yeah, I would just say my final advice is really get to know yourself and understand that you're going to have different skills and talents and appearance than other people, but you have your strengths just as much as everybody else does. Mm-hmm. And so focus and reframe when you're thinking negatively and like you're not feeling good about yourself. Don't focus on that. focus on what you're really good at and mm-hmm. What you have been blessed with.
Yeah, and fill up with Jesus.
Right, and fill up with Jesus and soak up that sponge, baby.
Yeah, dude, fill it up with the Lord. Cool. Naomi, it is so fun sitting down and talking to you about your life and your journey. And as somebody who has watched you grow through some of your ups and some of your downs, and as someone who has been blessed to fight in the arena with you, I am privileged to know you. You are such a beautiful human being inside and out. And I cannot wait to see how God is going to use you in your future, because it's going to be spectacular.
That is so sweet.
It's going to be amazing. And I just can't wait. So if you guys would pray with Naomi as she goes to school and starts in September and learns maybe what direction she wants to go in.
Yes, hopefully check up with me in 2 years. Maybe I can tell you what I'm doing.
Yeah. We'll keep you guys posted on that. But everybody at home, thank you so much for listening to Dear Younger Me, Love Me. Make sure you guys like us on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify or wherever else you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe to us. Share this with your friends. And guys, I hope that today you learned a lot more about Naomi, a lot more about yourself, and even more about God. Go out and have an awesome day.